Dreamscape presents The Closer I Get by Paul Burston. Narrated by Mark Topping, Esther Wayne, and Shiromi Arserio.
Part 1. 1. Day 1. It was great seeing you today. You probably don't believe me. Not after everything that's happened. But it's the truth. I'd never lie to you, Tom. I never have. Not once. I'm not like the others. Sometimes I think I'm the only truly honest person left. We live in an age of such deceit, don't we? People lie all the time. It's second nature to them. Everyone is so afraid of appearing stupid or saying the wrong thing and offending someone. Everyone's so keen to make a good impression, virtue signalling and boasting about their perfect lives on Facebook, posting artfully posed selfies and filtered photos of their dinner on Instagram. Social media has made liars of us all. Not me, though. If anything, I'm too honest for my own good. Maybe if I'd learned to hold my tongue more, we wouldn't be in this mess. But then I wouldn't have been true to myself. I can't change the way I am, Tom. Even for you. Even if there's a price to pay. You used to admire my honesty. Refreshing, you said. A free thinker. Did you change your mind? Or were you humouring me when you said those things? I'd hate to think that you lied to me from the outset. That would make you a hypocrite, my darling. I probably shouldn't tell you this. I probably shouldn't be writing to you at all. But before we go any further and our words are twisted and taken out of context, I want to make one thing clear. I don't blame you. Honestly, I don't think you knew what you were getting yourself into. I don't think either of us did. Maybe if we had, we'd have done things differently. But life's not like that. You don't wake up one morning knowing that today's the day you'll meet the person who'll change your life forever. You don't go into these things with your eyes wide open. They just sort of creep up on you. And that's how it was with us. We don't decide when we fall in love. We don't choose it. It chooses us. We have no more control over it than we have control over the weather. Do you recognize those words? You ought to, because you wrote them. That's a direct quote from your second novel. I wonder if you knew then how true those words were, or if you were just trying them on for size, the way some writers do. I suppose it's what literary critics would call style. I've never been a big fan of style myself. I prefer my writers to say what they mean and mean what they say. But as I think we've established, I'm not your average reader. I remember the night we first met. I don't wear makeup as a rule, but I'd made a special effort that night. Eyeliner, lipstick, a bit of blush. It's not every day a girl gets to meet the man she's admired from afar. I remember the crisp white shirt you wore, and the slightly cocky, slightly nervous smile when you walked into the crowded bookshop. I remember thinking that your author photo didn't do you justice, that you were far better looking in the flesh. Never did I imagine that this would be the start of something life-changing. I'd only come to hear you speak and get my book signed. Emotional attachments were the last thing on my mind. Contrary to what you might think, I didn't plan any of what happened after. Grand passions really aren't my thing. I'm not one of those women who sit around dreaming of being swept off their feet. I've never needed a man to complete me. Not like my mother. She was never happy unless she had a room full of male admirers, yet never tired of boasting about her feminist credentials. But we both know what hypocrites feminists can be. In fact, that was one of the first things we agreed on, that night at the bookshop when I stayed behind after the crowds had dwindled. Some dreary woman was complaining about the lack of positive female role models in your books, as if your first responsibility as a novelist isn't to tell a good story, but is to make her feel validated. I could see you needed rescuing, so I spoke up. That's the trouble with certain kinds of feminists. What they lack in imagination, they make up for in self-righteousness. You feigned shock. And what kind of feminist are you? The recovering kind, I replied, and you laughed, flashing those perfect white teeth of yours. You asked my name, and I handed you my business card. Evie, you said. That's a pretty name. I watched you slide the card into your breast pocket,